The 0-2 pitch. Swing and a miss. Knocked him out. The Philadelphia Phillies are 2008 World Champions of Baseball. It's Wednesday, December 3rd, 2014. Welcome to the Philly Press Box Radio Roundtable, brought to you by ShopForKisses.org, the online shopping network of the Kisses for Kyle Foundation. I'm Bill Furman. I'll be your host tonight. My partner, Jim Chesko, is off tonight, but we will have his large shoes filled again by two returning guests, Kevin McClure and Frank Kolachny. Welcome back, fellas.
Good to be here, Bill, and especially good to be on with my friend Frank.
Hey, guys. Great night up here. Looking forward to it. And, yeah, it's going to be fun with Kevin.
Yeah. Well, you know, we'll go ahead and jump on that right quick and just let our listeners know that you guys are pretty well best buddies, at least your best sports buddies anyway. And you go to a lot of games together and do a lot of things together. And we're gonna hit on some of those things. I'll just let you know a little bit later. So our ShopForKisses.org phone lines will be open at 929-477-2855. So feel free to give us a call throughout the show. Let's go ahead and get our trivia question out there early. This is for the giveaway of the Mike Quick signed 8x10 photo courtesy of Carl's Cards and Collectibles to the first person that can call in and correctly answer the question. That's not you two, by the way, Frank and Kevin. You're ineligible today. So here we go. I am the only player in Eagles history with a 90-plus yard run, a 90-plus yard reception, and a 90-plus yard kickoff return. And I actually did them all in the same year. Can you name me? Again, our call-in to answer the trivia question is the same as the other call-in number. It's 929-477-2855. Okay, fellas, I think in talking about the Eagles, I think they fit perfectly into the old saying that I first heard from Joe Paterno, and that's you're never as good as you think you are when you win, and you're never as bad as you think you are when you lose. And I think after the woodshed beating the Eagles put on the Cowboys on Thanksgiving Day, on top of the beatdown they got from Green Bay, it's tough to decide anything except that the NFL is certainly a week-to-week, game-to-game league, and you just never know what's going to happen on any given Sunday.
I definitely agree with that. I mean, after the Green Bay game, I think, you know, we all thought that, the Cowboy game would be tough. I don't think, you know, there was any of us is shocked that the Eagles have won the game, but to hold Dallas to 10 points, I don't think, when I look at the predictions that I saw it, and most of us thought it was going to be a shootout. I think sometimes in the NFL, when you get off to the start the Eagles got off to in that game, I mean, they took the ball right down the field. You know, really the first two times they had it, you know, Sanchez really didn't have to make any plays. They were always in like third and one or third and two. A couple times they had third downs, they really made it look easy and jumped on the Cowboys. And, you know, Dallas never really got anything going in that game. I mean, they scored after that, but really that was about it. That was a real impressive performance by the Eagles. Probably the best one since Chip has been the coach.
Yeah, I'm gonna agree with 100% there, Kev. And matter of fact, what I'm starting to see here is, and I fail to hear this a lot, is I think what we have to really start realizing here is what a great job this coaching staff has done. I mean, you know, you sit back and you watch what happened up in Green Bay, and games like that really, and as a former coach and what have you, player, you kind of take those games and you just throw it out the window. You really just – that's the best way to get over that. That's the best way to make those adjustments. I mean, those games happen to every single team in the NFL. You look back all year, it's happened this year. But I think the key to finding a good football team right now is you have to be able to bounce back and you have to be able to make adjustments on the fly and immediately. And I think this coaching staff has done a tremendous job. And Billy Davis on the other side of the ball on defense, I think was just phenomenal. I mean, that game plan was just phenomenal. They shut the edges down, which is where – actually, that is where the bread and butter is made for the Dallas Cowboys. When they run that stretch play and they take that to the sidelines and they turn that corner, that's where they make their money. And I'll tell you, they did a hell of a job. They really shut that down. And you know, the secondary did a great job too. I mean, other than that big play to Dez on Fletcher, other than that, he was ineffective.
Yeah, and you know, and that kind of leads me right into where I wanted to go next. I think one of the things, and speaking about the Cowboys, and Frank, I want to get your thoughts on this first, but I think that when the Eagles make their adjustment, and they've made some major adjustments when they brought Sanchez in and lost Foles, and I think now they've gone back to getting Shady McCoy back into the game. Whether he's getting more carries or he's just getting better plays, this is they can say what they want. This is a different player in the last 3 weeks than what we saw for the first half of the season. And he's back up to third in the league in rushing. You know, when he's going to gain 120, 150 yards a game, they're going to win. They're going to be very tough to beat anyway. And I was really surprised that Dallas really brought very little to the party. They looked completely confused from the start. And I was really taken back because I thought Dallas would play them tough, and they didn't show up.
Well, let's go right to the juggernaut on this. I mean, it's no coincidence that this offensive line is now getting healthy. Other than Harriman's on there, they're all now starting to gel together. Getting everybody back healthy is huge right now. And I'm going to tell you something right now. This is a dangerous time of year right now because this team right now is peaking at the very perfect time that you need to be peaking right now. Have they maxed out on their pinnacle? Absolutely not. But they are making strides upwards right now, where before, you know, even last year they did a great job because, you know, this fitness program that's involved here now with Chip, I really believe makes a difference. They wear teams down. They can't stand toe-to-toe with this team. There's not many teams that can do it at the end of the game. And now that you're getting into the cold weather and the sloppiness, that's going to make a big difference right now. This is the time of year where it counts right now.
Speaking for the Cowboys, I was actually shocked at the way they played it. It seemed like they were just all, you know, when everybody saw the Packer game, you saw that what I thought was the Eagles' weakness was their pass defense. And it seemed like, to me, the only time Dallas threw the ball was in obvious passing situations until they were down 21 points, and then every down was a pass. So I think I couldn't understand. I know they like to run the ball. I know they wanted to control the clock and establish the run and do all that, but it really – they weren't making big plays. They weren't dominating the line of scrimmage. I think you got to, you know, decide that you're going to do something before it's 30-10 before you start, like, hey, let's go after them. And it just didn't work. But I think something that I heard during the week, and I think, you know, my dad and I were watching the game, and he said it right away in the third quarter, that maybe they're running the ball because Romo looked terrible. He couldn't even reach receivers down there that were open. He was throwing everything short. He was like lollipopping balls. It was like he could barely get enough on the ball to get it there. And that surprised me a little bit. So, there might be something to that. For them to play that bad, and they just didn't seem to be really into it at all, on offense especially. And their defense, you know, they were down 14-0, you know, before the game even started. So if you're a Cowboys fan, you had to be disappointed with that because, that's really – you haven't seen that from them all year.
Yeah, and that offensive line on their side of the ball has been tremendous this year. And that's been their tipping point all year is they've been dominating on the offensive line. So that goes back to credit on our end too, where our defensive line abused them all night long. They sealed those edges. That number one draft pick on the left tackle, he got beat up all night. And I agree with you, Kevin. I actually think I made this statement during the game. But I still don't think Romo's 100% because, I mean, you take a look at some of the sacks that he took. I counted two of them when I looked at the replay where he went down.
Sorry about that.
Sorry.
I don't know who the engineer is here, but he messed that up.
Yeah, but I like I was saying, I think Romo's still not 100%. There was a couple phantom sacks that went on there where he felt somebody breathing down his neck and he didn't want any parts of it. He just dropped.
Yeah, he just fell right to the ground. Yep, I saw at least two of them were like that.
Yeah, we said the same thing watching the game here too, Kevin. It was almost like a couple of those balls. There was one in particular he threw to Bryant over on the sidelines. It looked like he needed a stopwatch underneath it. I mean,
right.
It was in the air forever.
Yep.
And, you know, I don't know if he was just kind of unloading the ball too quickly because he had been beat up by the rush so bad, or if it's his back injury is an effect or what, but I'm 100% in agreement with you. That guy didn't look like a very good professional quarterback, actually. I mean,
no.
He really looked that bad. And you know, hats off to Fletcher Cox. Man, what a game.
Yes.
Well, what
he took,
I mean,
he took names up front.
He's come into his own now. He's having a hell of a season.
Yeah, he is. And you know, I think we always shout out, and or at least I know I do, and I don't know how you guys feel about this, but everybody in the city of Philadelphia for 3 or 4 years now has beat up on Casey Matthews. Casey Matthews is playing pretty decent football for the last 3 weeks as a fill-in, and, you know, he's not the D'Amico Ryans. But he's not a bum either, and I think he's playing pretty darn well.
Yeah, I mean, if that linebacker, that position he plays, I mean, if you're stopping the run, he's a big part of it, no question about it. And you know, they have not gotten gashed by anybody these last few weeks.
Yep. No, last time I was on our last show, I actually mentioned that exact topic on where he's starting to plateau his play. And I think a lot has to do is this kid has had the time on the sideline. He's had the coaching. And when that opportunity presents itself for you to get in there and you to show what you're made of, you got to make the most of it. And I really think that he took that to heart because, you know, Acho hasn't been healthy. Acho's been, you know, they put him in there and they dressed him the last 2 weeks for the simple reason that stiff Marcus Smith can't even dress on special teams. So they're kind of like their backs against the wall. And this Casey Matthews, I agree with you 100%. He's really played great football.
Yeah, and I saw a comment back when D'Amico went down that he had made to Casey Matthews. He said, it's your team, go run it, which I thought was a really cool thing for Ryans. And so far, it looks like Matthews has stepped up and done a heck of a job. Of course, the road's getting tougher, you know, when the Seahawks come to town. But we'll get to that in just a few minutes. I did want to ask you guys. We talked about this last week, Chet and I, about Jordan Matthews. Jordan Matthews, I feel like is really stepping up and doing a heck of a job and really working towards being that number one receiver or at least climbing up there with Jeremy Maclin. And then on the flip side, it seems like Brent Celek is taking a lot of reps away from Zach Ertz. So I find that interesting as the season's been progressing along.
Yep, I agree with you, Bill. Frank and I have talked just a couple weeks ago about how good we thought Matthews was, you know. The exact same comment you just made, you know, he's going to be a number one receiver here real soon. And, you know, it's the way he's been playing, he gets open, he makes big plays, and, you know, he's definitely great over on the other side from Maclin. As far as, you know, Ertz didn't even catch a pass against Dallas, and it seems like we thought he was going to move into that, you know, maybe that upper tier of tight ends, and that just hasn't happened. Like you said, he's losing the time. They're targeting Celek way more than Ertz these days.
Well, you know, it's no secret that Jordan Matthews has the pedigree. I think that has a lot to do with everything because the guy's work ethic is second to none. I mean, I talk to people weekly who just resound the fact that this guy is just, he comes to work every day, his feet are grounded, he's a very genuine individual, and he's a hard worker. He's like the last one off the field of practice down at the NovaCare Center. And, you know, he's really, really stepped up. The guy has huge hands, and boy, is he, he's something to go across the middle to watch. Now, you know, if we start looking at this tight end situation, I have a simple theory on that. You know, this has happened 3 or 4 weeks now in the making with Selleck because they've had offensive line issues where they were really getting beat up on the blocking end. Selleck is an exceptional blocker. He has good hands. He doesn't have the hands that Ertz has. However, Ertz's playing time has diminished for the simple reason that he can't block. And every week, that's all you're hearing. Every week is he's complaining that he's not getting the ball thrown to him. He's not getting the ball thrown to him. Well, guess what? Being a tight end, that's not your only job. And I think he's starting to learn that now because I think they're really starting to wake him up a little bit. I mean, you're actually seeing James Casey and Selleck on the field at the same time now more than you are Ertz. And that speaks volumes.
Yeah, and I 100% agree with you, too. I think it started out, just as you said, the offensive line was banged up, and they were bringing Selleck in as an extra blocker, for you know, just in a protection scheme. But then as it evolved, now he's all of a sudden he's out running routes as well as blocking, and that's left Ertz on the sidelines. Hey, Kevin, I do want to talk to you about the defending Super Bowl champion Seattle Seahawks rolling into town Sunday. They need a win. I mean, how do you see this game breaking out? I mean, it's a must game. It's not a must game necessarily for the Eagles, but important for them to beat a good team and do it at home is real important to the Eagles, especially with the Cowboys coming in again next week. I would surely think those same Cowboys that came, you know, that were the turkeys on Thanksgiving are not going to be the ones that show up next week. So this is an important game for the Eagles, but it's pretty much a must game for the Seahawks.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think that, you know, you look at Seattle, you know, this, I'm really looking forward to this game. I think this, if the Eagles win this game, I think you have to, you know, you can start, you know, talking about maybe winning an NFC championship and going to the Super Bowl, because this is a big time team they're playing at home. It's a game they should win. If they beat them and Seattle somehow wins that division, they would might have to play them again in the playoffs, and that game would probably be in Philadelphia if they can win this game on Sunday. If they lose it, the two teams are tied, and if they would play in the playoffs, that game would probably be in Seattle. So I think, you know, it's a pretty big game, and I think, you know, the Seahawks, like Frank said about the Eagles peaking at the right time, you know, I think you'd have to say the same thing about Seattle. I mean, they played, you know, two really good teams the last 2 weeks and didn't give up a touchdown. Won each game 19-3. They're running the ball real well. You know, their defense is probably the best the Eagles have seen all year. Probably the best team they've definitely seen at home this year. I mean, if you look at that home schedule and who the Eagles have had to play, you know, this is by far the best team that's come in here this year so far. And I just think that, you know, that it's going to be, you know, Seattle's physical. I think it's going to be a tough game. And, you know, I think the key ingredients are the same as they were last week, trying to run the ball and, you know, stop Seattle from pounding it on them. So, you know, you can run on Seattle. I think what I saw, Murray ran for, you know, over 100 yards. I think Jamal Charles had 150 yards on them. I think there was a third back that also, you know, had a pretty decent game at well over 100 yards. So it's not like you can't run the ball on them and they make you one-dimensional. So I think it's important that the Eagles, you know, establish that run game, put Sanchez in third and short, and, you know, let him manage the game. I think, you know, if we're seeing third and 12, third and 8, you know, third and 10, the Eagles are going to have problems, because I think this secondary makes plays for Seattle. Yeah. And will cause, I think, some problems if Sanchez has to throw the ball, you know, in those kind of situations.
Yeah, well, you know, to your point, the Seahawks right now, I don't go by all those yardage stats. To me, those are somewhat meaningless, but how many points do you give up? And the
right.
Seahawks have given up 221 points, which is second in the NFC, second lowest in the NFC. And just as a comparison to the Eagles, the Eagles have given up 285. Seattle's given up 221. So just to try to get a little grip on that, that's 64 points. That's a lot of points. But you're exactly right. This is a good defense, and you know, a loss to Seattle drops them to 7 or 8 and 5. And if San Francisco wins, they're 8 and 5, and they're both two games behind Arizona. This is a big game for the Seahawks.
I agree. I really do. I mean, you know, you look at this game right now, the Eagles right now, I think they're a 1-point favorite right now in Vegas. That's pretty significant. I mean, you know, the last time the Seahawks went off as an underdog back in the non-division game was like week 13 of the 2012 season or something crazy like that, when they went off as a 3-point dog against Chicago. I mean, you know, This year they go out, they were 4-point favorites against San Fran and a point favorite against Kansas City, and they lost outright. I really like this game this week. I really do. I think as usual, you're going to hear a lot in Seattle about Sherman and Thomas all week and everything like that. But I'll tell you, the best player on this defense right now that makes it work is Chancellor. I mean, this guy, he's an X factor, this guy right here. I mean, he's just, first couple games of the season, he was battling a hip and a groin injuries and he was getting toasted. But I got to believe if you're running a scout team this week, I think number 31's on the back of these guys, because I'll tell you what, this guy's just he's all over the place. And I think that being said, I think you're going to see a lot more sets with Sproles and McCoy together. You know, and that kind of forces Chancellor to key on one of them. And that could be Sproles could be our big X factor in this thing, you know?
Yeah, and interestingly enough about Sproles, it seems like his touches are going down. And maybe that's because McCoy is hot and in the groove, but it seems like he's getting less and less plays on the field.
Yeah, and I think what they're really, really focusing on these last couple games was letting Sanchez get his feet and manage the game. He didn't have to go out and light the world on fire, and the guy's done a great job. I mean, you know, say what you want. There's a lot of people out there that are doubters of this guy, but sometimes the system fits the quarterback, and I believe you're seeing it right now.
Well, I think that goes back to running the ball. When you run the ball, you can manage the game. When you can't run the ball and you're forced to make plays, that's when you don't get to manage the game. And with that said, you know, the Seahawks are fifth overall in rush defense, and they're first in rush offense. So, you know, we're going to have to hunker down in the box on both sides of the football and see how this thing goes.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, when I've seen Seattle play a couple times, you know, it's Russell Wilson, you know, I wouldn't call him the greatest passer in the world, but boy, he can make plays with his feet. And, you know, he turns a lot of third and 12s into, you know, he escapes pressure and runs for a first down. And, you know, that's a guy, the Eagles really haven't seen much of a guy like that this year. And, you know, that's you know, so important when you want to run the ball to have a guy like that. If you have some plays that don't go, if Lynch, you know, you're looking at third and 8 that can, you know, not only make the pass, but also, you know, run the ball for 10, 15 yards to keep drives going. And, you know, they got to watch that on Sunday.
Yeah, Marshawn Lynch is a beast, fellas.
Yep. Oh, absolutely.
He is, but let's also go back to the fact this team, yeah, Seattle, they don't score a lot of points. They really don't. They don't put up an exuberant amount of points, you know, in a game. And I really believe if you can hold them to 24 points or below, you're going to win this football game. We're going to win this football game because I'm going to tell you right now, if we can score 24 on them, the game's over.
Oh, but they've kicked, what, Frank, 10 field goals the last, what, three games. So,
yeah,
definitely settle for field goals, that's for sure.
Well, and they were tough opponents. They were 19-3 against Arizona, 19-3 against San Francisco. And they scored 20 the week before against Kansas City, and the 2 weeks before that they scored in the 30s against bad teams, the Raiders and the Giants.
Yep.
So, I think when you're only giving up three, you can kick field goals.
Yep.
Well, this is exactly how Jimmy Johnson was so great. I mean, they could put up all the yards they want. You keep them out of the end zone, you're going to win the game.
That's right.
You know, Bill, how much do you put into this, in those games where their defense was playing like it was for Seattle, where they kind of maybe dummied down the offense a little bit, made sure they didn't make mistakes. We got the three. We're going to take it. That's all we need. And just kicked the field goal and, kept padding the lead. I mean, I think, there could be something to that as well.
Yep. And when you have a guy like Lynch who can, carry the load, and keep running the ball time after time, and, I think you're good. Your defense is good. You can control the clock. You're not putting your quarterback in too many bad situations. Hey, take wins. And right now they've won five of their last six, and as you mentioned, they're hot. They're a good team.
Yep.
And for them, talking about this game, they've got the Eagles. Then they play San Francisco at home, and then they go at Arizona, and then the St. Louis Rams, who are beating people all of a sudden. Not an easy chore for Seattle, which, again, makes this a big, big game for them. They got to win this game.
Kevin, what's your thoughts on this? I mean, you just talked about that, Bill. You just touched on that subject. But I got to tell you, I think San Francisco stinks. And Arizona right now, these injuries that have become them are really starting to catch up on them. And I think they're two very winnable games for them.
Yeah, I agree with you, Frank. I think that, I think this is a huge game for them. I also think that they think, even if they would somehow lose this game, I think in the back of their mind they're saying, we win the next 2 weeks in our last game at home against the Rams. If we win the final three, we're winning the division.
Right.
We're going to win the division at 11-5 because the Cardinals, while they look great, when Palmer was in there, they look horrible right now. They didn't even show up against the Falcons. They play, and if you see who they play the same teams that the Seahawks play, except instead of the Eagles, they have the Chiefs. And, Chiefs have a pretty nice team. So, and they're going to cause, the Cardinals some problems. You hear I think you go back, where Bill had said, you're not as good as your worst game, which the Cardinals played last week, and everybody's now saying they're not going to win another game. So I'm not ready to say that, but they do have some problems, and I would think Seattle, well, obviously they want to get this win because I think, this is a big one for them. If they can somehow win out, they could have home field throughout. They beat the Packers head-to-head, and, the Packers lose a game, and, they're right there.
Yep. Well, hey, let's go ahead and thank our sponsor, and then we'll come back and we'll hit the trivia question again. And then, fellas, it's time for the rapid-fire hot seat, if you guys are up for it.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, we'd like to thank our sponsor, shopforkisses.org, the online shopping network of the Kisses for Kyle Foundation. By logging on to www.shopforkisses.org's website, you become connected to over 3,000 stores, including all the big ones you already shop at. Every purchase made gets you cash back, and each purchase benefits the Kisses for Kyle Foundation, which helps families dealing with childhood cancer throughout the Delaware Valley. If you have any questions, contact Bob Sullivan at bobsullivan.shopcom@gmail.com or give him a call at 484-319-8043. And I can tell you guys, I've been using this for my Christmas shopping and some things we decided to do around the house, and I am up to $80-some in cash back. Free money is the way I look at it. So it does work. It's there and for people to use the system, and then it helps the Kiss for Kyle Foundation as well. All right. Well, let's give our trivia question another whirl, get it out there, see if we can find a couple callers that know the answer. This is the win, the Mike Quick signed 8x10 photo, courtesy of Carl's Cards and Collectibles, to the first person that can call in and correctly answer the question. I am the only player in Eagles history with a 90-plus yard run, a 90-plus yard reception, and a 90-plus yard kickoff return. I actually did them all in the same year. Can you name me? Again, our call in to answer the trivia question is 929-477-2855. Okay, fellas, we're going to do something we've never done before on the Philly Press Box Radio Roundtable. We're going to go do a dual rapid-fire hot seat. So you've both been on the hot seat before with Chet, and both did very well at it, actually. So you know how it's done. And, Kevin, you'll answer first on each one of these, followed by Frank. Keep your answer short and quick, and you know the routine. All right?
Okay.
And what I'm going to do here is I'm going to bounce around. I'm going to hit all the sports and a couple other things. So there's a total of 10 questions. So put your seatbelts on.
Okay.
All right. Kevin, Eagles question. Wilbur Montgomery, Brian Westbrook, or LeSean McCoy?
Brian Westbrook. I think he was, you know, he run the ball. I thought he was a great receiver. He would be my choice. I thought he was a special player.
Go ahead, Frank.
I'm going to go with Westbrook also. Here's a guy that did it on every facet of every part of the game. And let's also remember the guy was a stud come playoff time. Until we see something from Shady along them lines, I'm going to stay with Westbrook.
Okay, Eagles question or football question. Instant replay, like it or not?
Instant replay, like it or not. I say I like it. I think it's important to get the calls right. I think my biggest problem with beef with instant replay is that they, you know, they don't always get it right. I think they try and get too cute with the rules. I think, you know, there's been way too many plays this year where I've seen that, you know, where they've reversed stuff that they shouldn't be, I don't think should be reversed, and they're, you know, the exact opposite. They're letting plays stand that, you know, obviously should be reversed. I think it's – they need to be – I think they should change the system and let one guy make the calls instead of having some guy go under the hood that like the other sports do.
I like it. I'd like to see some changes also because I think the game has become so much quicker, somewhat intricate to the fact that these referees have to be in top shape now to even keep up with the speed of some of these offenses, especially the Eagles. I don't like the fact that they get too cute sending this stuff back to New York all the time and you get two different guys looking at it out there to come back. I think there has to be some adjustments, but all in all, I think the way the league is set up right now, it's a good thing.
All right, let's jump over and talk a little hoops quickly. Charles Barkley or Allen Iverson?
Charles Barkley for me. He brought it. You know, they're both great players, but you know, I think it's probably because my generation. I was a big Barkley fan. I loved the way he played. You know, even his outspokenness, I thought was more funny and didn't have the edge that Iverson did.
I'm going to change gears on that because I'm going AI. I remember, Tevin and I have been to a couple games down there where this guy was just electric in that building. I mean, you know, put aside all the circus hoopla that surrounded him, but this guy was a gamer inside and out, and I'll never forget that playoff series, that playoff run against the Lakers, where this guy just took over. And for a guy his stature, I think he was tremendous.
All right. Let's talk a little Phillies for a second. If you could take any Philly ever, less Mike Schmidt, to start your franchise, who would it be?
For me, it would be Steve Carlton. I think that anytime you can, dominate on the mound like he did with a bad team. I mean, he went won what half the games one time in 1972. I mean, that's kind of what you want from a guy when you're starting a team. That, you know, you want that ace, that pitcher that, you know, when you do make the playoffs and start to turn things around, that you have one of those. And he certainly came up big, you know, for the Phillies in the postseason, you know, through the years of, you know, within 10 years of that season.
It's hard to disagree with that. Carlton was the first guy that came to my mind, but I would put Cole Hamels on there also for the simple reason that if I had Cole Hamels back on them teams that Carlton played with also, I think he would have been dominant.
All right. Curt Schilling came to my mind as well in there.
Yep.
But, okay, let's talk a little hockey. Now, this is not current because we already know the answer to who the current player is, but which opposing player do you dislike or have you disliked the most?
For me, I'd probably say the player I disliked had to be Claude Lemieux, just because I thought he was just the dirtiest player. Was constantly using a stick and kind of run away after that. And, you know, some of the cheap stuff he did, I just never liked him.
We lose you, Frank.
Yep.
Maybe we did lose him, Kev.
Yep. Yeah, must have.
All right. Well, let's move along. If he gets, I'm showing he's on, so maybe he's just in a bad spot. Oh, we lost him. He went off.
Okay.
All right. Well, let's just go ahead and we'll do it one at a time.
Okay.
You guys are friends and talk sports all the time together. We know, Kevin, you are a fan of some other teams from other cities, but what is it that you two disagree on the most?
Boy, what do we disagree on the most? I'd probably say, I think it was probably there for a while. Joe Flacco leading the Ravens is what I would call a big-time quarterback. You know, whether or not you could, win big playoff games and on the road with him back there. I think that, until really the they'd lost that game to the Patriots the first year where I thought that was really he had nothing to do with that. And, he still got some grief over that. And then, the next year they won the Super Bowl. But we'd go back and forth on that one quite a bit.
All right. Well, hey, Frank, you're back on here. So let me run the question back by you right quick. Kevin already answered. I said, you guys are friends. You talk sports all the time together. And we know that Kevin's a fan of some other teams from other cities, but what is it that you two disagree on the most?
Donovan McNabb.
Two quarterbacks, yep.
Yeah, Donovan McNabb. I was cut off there after my Dale Hunter comment, but I don't know what Kevin said, but, I mean, that just jumps off the page right away. I'd say Donovan McNabb.
Yeah, I said Joe Flacco.
Actually, I didn't hear your Dale Hunter comment, actually.
Yep.
So he was your most disliked guy.
I despised him with every fiber of my being.
Okay. All right. Well, Kevin answered Joe Flacco, and you answered Donovan McNabb, so you guys are good on that. All right, so let's move on to the next one. Who is your favorite all-time Philadelphia athlete? Any sport. Number
any
one.
Sport.
He's starting your Your Mount Rushmore.
Well, that's a tough question. I'm going to have to go with Dr. J. When I was a kid, he probably 11 years old. The basketball team had really done nothing for quite a long time. He came in, made the finals that first year, and let's face it, that the run the Sixers made from 77 till they won the championship in 83. Those are some special years for basketball in the city of Philadelphia, that's for sure.
Donovan McNabb, best quarterback to ever come through the city, point blank.
Now, that answer surprises me.
Yep.
Not that you thought he was the best quarterback, but he's your favorite of all-time athlete. Very good. Okay.
There's so many. I mean, that's a tough one.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Okay, who's the next Philadelphia player in any sport that should be inducted into his Hall of Fame? Next.
You know, even though I said Charles Barr, I'm going to have to go with Iverson. You know, he, you know, for the numbers he put up and how hard he played, I just think he's got to be a shoo-in for the Basketball Hall of Fame.
I'd have to go with a, I guess you could call him a former Philly, because obviously he was, with Jim Tomei.
Yeah, good choice.
Yep.
Yes, very good choice. Okay. What sporting event have the two of you attended together that you would consider the best game / environment / experience, all wrapped up in one, the best thing you've ever done together as far as going to a ball game?
You know, I knew you were going to ask this, so I was thinking about this about the half hour before we got on. Mine is early on, because one of the first things we ever did together was game six of the 1993 NLCS against the Braves. You know, that was that was there know that was just a crazy night, and it was you know, a lot of fun to be there. Frank and I were at that game together.
I remember that game like it was yesterday, because I remember turning to Kevin and I said to him, I said, "Oh my God, do you feel this building moving?" It was actually unbelievable. I mean, I could list probably three or four really tremendous ones, including the time we went to the Belmont. But I'm going to say, and I talk about this, and I'll probably speak about it until the day I die. Kevin and I did a road trip. We went up to see Penn State and Michigan State, up at Penn State, and then we drove from there up to Buffalo, and we saw Buffalo and the Jets up there. Was it the Buffalo and the Jets or Buffalo and
Miami?
Yeah,
it was Buffalo and the Jets. It was when the coaches.
It was so cold, and I sat next to the fattest. We both were pinned between the fattest guys up there. But it was just it was a road trip that you know, if you're going to spend a couple days with your best buddy, I will never forget that trip.
That was a great trip, no question about it. And the football, that Penn State-Michigan State game is one of the better college games I've ever seen. That was when Saban was at Michigan State, and that was a really well-played game.
Very good. All right, that last question, million-dollar question. Can Chip Kelly and this Eagles team really win the Super Bowl?
Yes. I mean, I are they the favorite? I'm not going to give them that, but you know, I think they can beat almost anybody. I mean, and that includes the Packers. I mean, they caught the Packers on the wrong day. I mean, you know, look at the, you know, a couple years ago, the Giants got killed by the Packers during the regular season, went into Green Bay and destroyed them in the playoffs. So I think, you know, Aaron Rodgers has played, you know, thrown in some stinkers in the playoffs. Just take a look at the, you know, what he's done. So I think, you know, it's, you know, if that's the team that you're chasing, I still think they have a chance. And anybody in the AFC, I think they can beat.
100% yes. This team is an enigma, and they are exciting, and they're absolutely fun to watch. I'm just, I love this. I love everything about this team right now. Are there some quirks in it? Yes, like the secondary, you know, we're seeing inconsistency there, but you're seeing that around the league. You're seeing with, you know, you see with New England, Denver, you know, the pack shows, you know, a couple holes here and there when they're on the road. But yes, I absolutely think that this team can win. I love this coach. I love him.
All right. Well, fellas, you have survived the 10-question duel rapid fire hot seat. Good job.
Yeah, thank you. That was fun.
All right. Okay, hey, let's move on. Let's talk about Flyers real quick. I mean, lost in all the Eagles hoopla is the fact that the Flyers seem to be in big trouble. You know, they started slow. They picked it up, got back in the hunt, played real well, and now they can't buy a goal. And Kevin, can you see this team recovering and even being able to make the playoffs? They're digging a hole.
I don't think so. I think – You know, last year they weren't in the greatest division. You know, they snuck in there to third. Pittsburgh ran away with the division. They were the only good team in the regular season in the division. You know, and they were able to battle in there. Now this year you got the Islanders up there playing out really good hockey. You know, they're about, you know, they're way ahead of the Flyers, double digits almost ahead, and you know, they're chasing, you know, the same teams they chased last year, the Rangers and some of these other teams. I don't think they're going to finish ahead of them. I don't think they're as good. And, you know, now they really only have two guys playing right now. So, you know, it's the – and the goalies. And, you know, they've got to make some changes if they're going to do something. If it's the roster that they're throwing out there right now, you know, I don't see it. And I don't think Ed Snyder sees it either.
No, and you know, I thought it was interesting that, you know, I didn't understand, not that he shouldn't have been traded, maybe, that the Scott Hartnell deal, but they didn't replace his goals. You know, they traded, I guess, what they thought was Umberger for Hartnell even up, and Umberger was never the scorer that Hartnell was, and he certainly has not scored any goals for them this season. And I agree with you. I mean, other than Voracek and Giroux, offensively, there is just nothing there.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Bill, we've always gone back and forth sometimes on Giroux. I've told, you know, a lot of the Flyers fans think he's, you know, he's a super player, and I've always kind of, well, you know, he's, you know, not as good as advertised, but he's played great this year. He's started from game one this year, you know, really playing well, and it's not equal in wins right now for them because no one else is doing anything except the goalie.
Yeah.
It seems like the goalie has to be first star for them to win.
Yeah, well, and then even last night they lost 2-1 out in San Jose, and Mason was the number three star in that game.
Right, yeah, and he played great against the Islanders. They couldn't get 2 points. You know, he shut him out in regulation, lost in a shootout. Mason's played pretty well. I don't think you can point at him and say, you know, this is the weakness. The goaltending is not the problem right now.
Yeah. I mean, sooner or later, you got to score goals.
Yep.
Frank, are you like my man Chet that doesn't watch hockey until January, or do you follow him all the way through?
Yeah, I follow him. I think right now, your biggest problem that you're seeing right now, like we just talked about, I mean, you got two guys that are playing great hockey right now. Now, you guys know me. I mean, last year I was throwing Giroux under the bus. I mean, the guy did nothing last year. He did nothing to wear that C. He didn't deserve it. I did not like him. Going into this season here, I thought for sure with all the secondary stuff that went on off the ice and all that, that this guy was a train wreck ready to happen. But, boy, I'll tell you, the guys played pretty good. The goalies have played pretty good, but they lack depth right now. They have no depth whatsoever, and there's no way they're going to get themselves out of this. There is no way. There is no foreseeable future with this team immediate for them to rectify this ship. It's just not going to happen. And, I mean, you got Le Cavalier now that's being benched as a healthy scratch. I mean, what's that tell you?
Right, right. Well, and I think, too, they brought up Lawton, and he wasn't up but a couple games, and he's on the second line. I mean, what's that tell you? You know, they brought him up and moved him right on up toward the top. And I agree. As much as I enjoy watching the Flyers, I always have. They're just not looking good. And you know, I don't think you can blame this on Berube. I think Berube does a pretty good job. I just, you know,
he's not the problem.
We all know. We've all coached. You can't win without the horses.
Yeah, it's tough to watch. If it's tough to watch on our end, imagine what he feels like.
Right. Well, speaking of tough to watch, Frank, we have to talk 76ers. They're 0-17. They look like they have no chance of winning the game. I mean, to make it worse now, you know, they're so bad, the opponents aren't even starting. You know, they're starting to rest their players. Nowitzki didn't play the other day. Tim Duncan didn't play against them the other night. They're brutal. Can this plan really work? I mean, it, they're not going to win nine games. I don't see them winning them.
Kevin and I, we just had a little text conversation the other night on this where I was fit to be tied for the simple reason that I think I saw, I'm almost positive of this, there were 16,000 fans in attendance last week down there. And my comment to that is, what the hell are you, what message are you sending to this ownership? That you're accepting this mess right now? That this is fine with you? I mean, if you're going to sit there and you're going to tank this like you are, it's not going to be just this season. I said this numerous times on this show, that this is not a 3-4-5-year plan. As bad as this team is right now, you're looking 7, 8, 9, 10 years for this thing to even work. I mean, you know, this is just a travesty what I'm seeing right now. I mean, I can't believe my eyes that for these people to go down there and drop coins to watch this mess on that court just blows my mind. That being said, how about this statement? I think they win tonight.
Well, I hope you're right. I mean, they've got to win one. They've got to, get something going. I hope you're right. But I,
well,
you know, I guess
win, they're not going to win. They're not going to win Friday night against Oklahoma City. That's for sure. So
no,
out there, we're in Minnesota. I'm going to say it. I think they're going to win tonight.
Well, you know, it's funny to me. Well, funny is probably not the right word, but you know, here comes Dallas into town. And, you know, the Sixers are lousy, and you say, you know what a great opportunity to take my kid down to the game. We'll pay the money. We can see Dirk play. He's a great player, and so you belly up the cash, you go on down the game, and there's the guy, never gets off the bench. You know, that's not what the NBA is about. It's not what the 76ers are supposed to be about, that you're so bad that the other team – best player is a healthy scratch.
Yep. It's a shame. It really is. I mean,
it's not getting any better. You look at the schedule after, you know, for the rest of them. I think they have 4 home games the rest of the month, you know, or, you know, until they go on that long West Coast trip. And, you know, the West Coast teams are way better than what's in the Eastern Conference. So it's, you know, if they can't beat, you know, the Pistons and the Timberwolves who they have games with coming up here, I'm not sure, you know, when that first win's coming. So it's, you know, they battle, they try hard for the most part, but they turn it over too much. They do a lot of the things you'd expect young teams to do. And I, you know, one thing that I think gets missed in all this is that, you know, losing breeds losing. So, you know, a guy like Michael Carter Williams, is all of a sudden we're going to get a couple good players and he's going to learn how to win. You know, how long is that going to take? You know, and when is like Sam Hinkie going to say, you know, this guy's not a winner? Well, you put him in situations where he's just going to lose a ton. You know, like, you know, when Michael Jordan and them guys came in and played, they didn't go 9-73. You know, or 2 years mm-hmm. where they won 30 games. You know, they made plays and won games, and I think, you know, there's something to that. You know. It's, you know, some of these better players in the NBA aren't going anywhere. And, I, you know, look at some other teams that, you know, have been bad for years and they just stay bad. You know, the Clippers were bad for 20 years. So, I mean, you know, maybe longer than that. So I'm just not convinced that you just lose games and you get high draft picks and you win automatically. It doesn't work that way.
Yeah, I agree. And I have to back my statement up by one factor and one factor only, that there has to be some kind of pride in that locker room, in that organization, that's going to stand up tonight and say, it's not going to happen tonight. And I have to believe, being a Philadelphia fan, living here all my life, that somebody has to be held accountable tonight, even if it's the coach, the front office, whatever it is. But there has to be some kind of pride tonight not to let this happen. So I'm going to say it, and there it is.
I hope you're right.
I hope you are, too.
All right.
Very simply, we're from Philadelphia, and we fight. That's it. If there's a game on, we're playing. End of story.
All right, boys. Prediction time. You got the lead in from Chip. Eagles, Seahawks. Frank, you're up. What do you got?
27-17 Eagles.
Very good. Kevin.
Yeah, I think, you know, we both of us talked about if you're going to think that the Eagles can, you know, make a run at the Super Bowl, I think you have to think they're going to win this game. I mean, I think, you know, a loss here and, you know, you're going on the road, I think this is a big game for the Eagles. You don't want to give Dallas any kind of life thinking that they can come in here and get right back in the division race or being first. A lot can happen in 2 weeks. So I'm going to say the Eagles win. I think it's going to be because Seattle, again, is going to, you know, settle for field goals and lose something. We'll keep them on the 19, and I'll give the Eagles 24.
24-19. Well, it's interesting because I already had mine written down in advance, and I was 24-20 Eagles.
Okay.
So you're going with what, four field goals. I'm going with three. So
yeah.
Or two.
Yeah.
So, all right, so we're all on board that we got 27-21, 24-19, and 24-20. All right. Well,
we're going to have to keep an eye on this weather, too, because it's supposed to be nasty all weekend with this weather, so that may play a factor somewhere, too.
Yeah, that definitely could. Both teams are used to playing in bad weather. Seattle has those those rough days as well with that rain.
All right. Well, we'd like to talk about a couple signings that are happening here getting ready for Christmas. Our man Carl over at Carl's Cards and Collectibles in Havertown, he still has his pre-Christmas signing lined up with John LeClair in the store December the 13th. And just in time for Christmas, they have John Dorenbos, Cody Parkey, who I know is one of Frank's favorites, and Donnie Jones on December 21st. There might even be a visit from Santa Claus that day, too. So Carl does a great job getting guests in. We hope you can support his efforts. He has a Facebook page, a website. So please check him out and you know, for all the signing costs and details. But Carl does a great job. Of course, he supports us here at Philly Press Box Radio as well. But we'd like to thank Carl for his continuing support of the show, as well as Mary Flanagan, our marketing extraordinaire behind the scenes, and our sponsor, shopforkisses.org, the online shopping network of the Kisses for Kyle Foundation. For Jim Chachesco and special guests Kevin McClure and Frank Kolachny, this is Bill Furman. Hoping you enjoyed the show, and we'll join Philly Press Box Radio next Wednesday night, December 10th, to talk all things Philly sports. You can listen to our Facebook page at Philly Press Box Radio, or on the internet at www.blogtalkradio.com/Philly Press Box Radio.
Good job, guys.
That was good.
High hopes, Philadelphia sports fans.